And Freya, you dirty girls.
Oh, yeah.
Hi, everybody.
Hiya.
Welcome to Project XXX. This is going to be our episode about porn and the sex industry, and we have a really special guest.
Yes, we do. Introduce yourself, my dear.
Okay, so my name's Heidi, otherwise known as Heidi Switch. I am a porn performer, amongst lots of other things. And I have been in the porn industry for maybe about 3 years now.
Amazing. So how did you get into the porn industry?
So I'd never really intended on being in porn or pornography. I'd never really thought about it as a career or anything that I would do, really. I did a tiny bit of webcam modelling, maybe about four or five years ago. And that was mainly my way of just kind of, I used to call it flirting with the ether. kind of like, you can kind of flirt and have sexy fun, but with this invisible audience.
Yeah.
And I never really did it for money. I did it just really to kind of get a kick out of it. And I worked out, I'd make money out of it, but that was secondary. And maybe about 4 years ago, I saw a TED talk. Well, in fact, I followed a female pornographer called Erica Lust. You girls know who she is. And then she did a TED talk. I saw this TED talk, and basically, so the name of the TED talk was Porn Has to Change, I think.
I've seen it. It's really good.
It's fantastic. And if you've not seen it, I advise everybody to go and watch it. And so basically what she was saying is that we need more representation in porn, pornography. We need to see different types of people having different types of sexual relationship, not just like the average, what you normally see on a tube site. Skinny girl, big boobs, fake breasts,
getting slammed.
So anyway, I thought to myself, I don't see anyone else like me in the porn that she makes. So I thought, I'll just get in contact with her. So I just cold emailed and just said, I don't see anyone that looks like me. Would you be interested? And they got back to me. This was before they really had a casting process, really. They didn't have an email or anybody that really dealt with consistent applications. Anyway, so they asked me to send some photos of me in my underwear or naked in a non-sexual setting. So it was to see what I looked like naked and see how I held myself. And it kind of went from there. I then got cast for my first film, maybe about 6 months after that. And it went from there.
Amazing.
What was your first film?
My first film? Well, in fact, I joined Twitter because I thought, this is how I network and this is how I get to know about people that work in the porn industry and kind of understand the lingo, because if I'm going to get into it, then I might as well get into it. You know? See what the lingo is, see how the etiquette is. So I followed a filmmaker who'd also made a film with Erica called Olympe de Gilles. And she basically put a tweet out saying, I'm making a film. I need someone who can squirt. I can squirt. So it's an involuntary reflex, by the way. It's not just pissing.
I'm also a squirter, yeah, so
or a gusher or whatever you want to call it. Depends on anyway. So I got in contact with her, and then she told me that it was another film for Erica Lust. Me not knowing that it was for Erica Lust.
Yeah.
And so she so she was like, oh, you need to get in contact with Erica and kind of get checked over by them and just make sure that they want you on their books. And I was like, I've already done that. So it was kind of a quick process, really. So the first film was called Don't Call Me... Well, it had three names, actually, because it was kind of like three parts of a poem. It's called Don't Call Me a Dick, Don't Call Me a Cunt, Don't Call Me an Asshole? Or Asshole? Asshole! And it was basically, it was very artistically done. I don't know anything about cameras or filming. It was shot on a macro lens, like really high definition. I'm trying to think of the name of the camera. I can't remember what it is now. Alexa? No, it's not Alexa. Everyone's Alexa. Alexa, seriously.
If anyone is listening to this out loud with an Alexa nearby, apologies.
I'm going to fuck with you now. So they basically wanted to film me squirting slow motion. I didn't know how it was going to turn out, and it was quite interesting because I've been in group sex situations previous to that, but everyone's like feeling sexual, whereas when you're in a room, it was interesting because when I got there, I felt just completely relaxed, and I think it was because I knew that everyone was on board with it. And everyone was professional, and I felt safe, and it was such a hot day, and we were in this tiny little studio with these really, really bright lights, because if you're filming up really close, you need bright lights, and you need light from all angles.
Yeah.
So we were pretty much in this massive light box. It wasn't very sexy.
No, again, as a fellow big girl, being surrounded by hot lights on a hot day and then being told I had to like squirt, I'd be like,
I don't know what it's going to be, it's going to be all sweat. There's actually a photo of me on the Ex-Confessions website, which is the project that Erica runs, of my back, and I am just drenched in sweat now. I don't really sweat that much.
Oh, really?
I was there for 3 days in Barcelona. Sorry, I went to Barcelona to film this.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I just like that.
I just popped up into Tabaki.
I didn't really get to see anything. So when I got back home, I'd lost like 8 pounds. That's pure sweat. So they filmed it. It's the most unsexy thing, but you get yourself into the mood and you feel, I think the thing for me is, for me to feel really comfortable with my sexuality, I need to feel comfortable with everybody around me. That's what attracts me to somebody if we're on the same like wavelength. It's not just physical attraction. So for me, it was a test for myself, really, I guess, because I was kind of, I don't know what to expect and I didn't know how I would react, but I reacted in quite a good way. I think I'm quite an exhibitionist as well. So...
Handy.
Well, yeah, I don't think I'd do this if I wasn't. So I think that kind of turned me on in a way. I crave for new experiences all the time, and this was definitely a new experience. But I did warn them. I was like, but I had to do the squirting scene like at the end of the day, and I'd been sweating a lot. So I was like, listen, you might not even get your mouth.
Yes, I'm dehydrated.
Necking bottles of water.
Like, there's nothing sexier than hydration, to be fair.
God.
It's true.
Oh, God.
Yes. There she is. Freya's hydrating herself as we speak.
Hydration. It's the way to get you squirting.
Oh, my God. We were actually talking to someone earlier about squirting. And she had been told by someone else that if you don't squirt, it's because you aren't hydrated or you haven't drunk enough water.
And that's the only reason.
People won't squirt, which is so weird.
No.
Because... I mean, I'm a squirter. You're a squirter.
Yeah. I am not a squirter, but I'm extremely hydrated. I just don't.
The most hydrated and plump full of water at all times.
I think it just depends. If you've got any moisture in your body, it's going to go somewhere, to some gland or your bladder or, you know, like...
I don't think if you're a the only reason that people don't squirt is dehydration.
Yeah.
But I think that's with the idea that, like, squirt is pee, which... It is not.
No.
Because I've done like an experiment on myself where I've gone and peed it all out, been like, right, let's get this out. masturbated, squirted, yeah, and then yeah. been like, so it isn't pee. I had no pee.
Actually think that because there's been many occasions where I've squirted, and the viscosity is different. It's kind of, it's not piss. It's kind of like watery. Mm-hmm. Watery,
it tastes
white.
Different.
It does taste different.
It's really salt. It's like a kind of saline-y.
Well, I like, I mean,
taste.
I generally have sexual relationships with women, so, but I've had lots of sexual relationships with men, obviously. But I find that it smells slightly of semen. And
do
I,
you think?
Yeah. There's some hormonal thing, and it kind of, So I kind of think
I disagree. Yeah. But gotta be honest, I couldn't like conjure the smell of semen if I thought about it right now. But
biscuits.
Imagine if it's your only superpower.
I can just smell semen whenever I want.
Yeah,
it'd be the worst superpower of all time.
No, but not just you, but like for some reason your only superpower is you are able to conjure the smell.
I but guess sometimes you can, because you kind of store it as a, like a memory, or
yeah, like a memory
of other people. Spank you're bang. Like,
yeah,
semen,
yeah. Smell it.
Yeah.
But I think your journey into the world of porn is obviously very counter to what is like the stereotypical journey into porn, which I think is amazing.
I guess so. I think that more and more people are talking about how they actually got into it now, and therefore I think just sex work in general is becoming more and more visible.
Yeah.
So there's no kind of normal or average.
Yeah.
And I think more and more people are kind of applying in this kind of way.
Yeah, yeah, through Twitter and things
like
that.
Internet has really opened up.
But I think there is this kind of like narrative of I want to go to Hollywood and I'm going to be a movie star, but oh no, I have to do pornography first and now I'm trapped in this world forever. Do you know what I mean?
Well,
it's kind of like...
I either picture like the Marilyn Monroe having to do like racy pictures to make rent, or I picture like sort of late 90s, early noughties, like Valley Girl.
Yeah.
Like going and then like...
I think that's generally like... the stereotype of like,
I also think that it's media's representation of
yeah exactly
110% yeah,
and I don't think that it's as like straightforward,
and even like there's been recent documentaries about porn this year which have just been tragic to watch, because like they go around
one of which I've been on.
No shade. That one actually, I mean, I had a lot of thoughts on it, but like, it was fine. But there was another one, it was a Channel 4 one, I think, or it might have been BBC 3 or something. And yeah, they just really, really pushed this narrative of like fresh 18 year old girls going to Hollywood and being like, I've taken 400 cocks a day. And they're like, she took 400 cocks a day. She used to want to be a veterinary nurse and now look at her. And I was like, what is this narrative
there,
that you're putting
always
forward?
There is an agenda.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think now we're kind of entering more of a, not necessarily liberal, we're entering kind of neutral or new territory. So I think these things that are kind of shamed are kind of being re-looked at. And
yeah. This criticism coming from sex workers and porn performers who are kind of saying this is not a good representation of us.
But there's so many representations that just by showing one doesn't necessarily mean that's the full picture.
Exactly, yeah. But unfortunately that is the narrative that they show a lot. Of like young girls kind of getting corrupted into this industry.
Yeah, because I was talking to a friend of mine and she was talking about like women, like porn being a complete negative thing because it was about women who are being like forced into it or taken advantage
exploited.
Of. Which in some cases there are people who are exploited, but it's not all that. And I think it's a lot about that is the representation that has been put towards people that like all the women that are in porn don't want to be there and they're forced to do it, or they wanted to be there and then they're being forced to do stuff they didn't want to do, which is a lot of what I've seen in documentaries as well, where it's like women who have started off doing sort of softcore porn and then they've started and then now they're being forced to do like anal fisting and they're like, I don't want to do this but I have to do it because it pays the bills, which I think is true in a lot of circumstances, but that's not every porn performer's experience has.
And also, that's a similar experience to... I mean, it's not similar, but, like, you could say it about bar work. I didn't want to get into bar work.
This is exactly what I was
gonna
say.
And, like, it was hurting my body. I was barely getting paid. Mm-hmm. I couldn't leave because I only had bar experience. I just had to go get another bar job. Like, no one was saying that I was this exploited woman in the bar industry, but I felt very exploited.
If we have jobs, we have a job. Whether we want to do it or not, that's what the job title is. Mm. We can get bumps and bruises and be physically shattered, and that can just be working in a shop.
Exactly.
That could just be working in a bar.
Yeah.
That could be working in an office.
As soon as it's in the sex industry, everyone goes...
But that is because it's not spoken about.
Yeah.
And I think now there's a lot more... I don't know, the sex workers are being heard and being put in within the media, and it's kind of everyone's having their say.
Yeah.
I'm having my say, like, you know.
I think it's great. And I love it, and I'm into it, and I'm all about it.
Good. Get into it!
I would much rather hear an actual sex worker's, you know...
Yeah.
Tweets about her or their experience, not even her experience, because a lot of these narratives completely erase male porn stars,
non-binary porn stars,
transgender porn stars, anyone who's not like a white woman, basically. Mm-hmm. A lot of these narratives. And I just like hearing about other people's experiences. And most people are like kind of sick this shit days, but it's pretty good.
Yeah.
And also, like how you're saying that everyone has a say, I think a lot of people have a say that have literally nothing to do with the porn industry at all, or know nothing about it. Like, if, for example, we go back to bar work, like, if you were like, ah, my bar job sucks for these, this is it. Someone who'd never done bar work is not going to be like, excuse me, here's my point of view on that. You'd
here's my opinion.
Yeah.
It's because it's not shameful to work in a bar. It's just the norm.
Mm. It's an accepted thing. Oh god, this talking about the sex industry gets so depressing.
The sex industry is so big and so varied. It's like saying sex work. It's such an umbrella. Umbrella term. It's like saying, I don't know, bar work. It's like you can
be a cocktail maker. You could be a pint puller.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You could be the cleaner.
Yeah.
Mm.
Do you have any of your songs that you've brought in?
What's that, sorry?
Do you want some of your songs that you've brought in? Which one would you like to start with?
Maybe the French one.
Yes, tell us why you picked this saucy French song.
So, this is a Françoise Hardy song, and this is kind of... This gets me into, like, a really, like, cute, romantic mood. And romance, like, turns me on.
Yeah, for sure.
And it's kind of, like, soft and fluffy and flirty and...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Let's do it.
J'ai jeté mon cœur un peu à tout vent. À présent j'ai peur. J'ai peur, je le sens. Qu'il ne sache plus battre comme avant, qu'il ne sache plus ce que ça veut dire, aimer vraiment. J'ai jeté mon cœur et je m'en repens, plaisir et bonheur se confondent souvent. J'ai voulu goûter à tout en même temps et j'ai oublié ce que ça veut dire aimer vraiment. Les doigts qui tremblent dans sa main, les gestes sous vent maladroit font déjà partie du passé où je restais des nuits sans fin à penser et rêver à toi, le premier que j'ai cru aimer. J'ai jeté mon
That was a sexy song.
It was. It was a song that made me feel like I was making love.
Yeah, making love.
Rather than fucking.
J'adore. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But we've got the fucking to come.
Exciting. But we were just having a little discussion while the music was playing about amateur porn and couple porn and how it's a really massive thing now and it's becoming a really big genre that I'm personally a massive fan on.
Especially amateur porn with things like OnlyFans, Manyvids, amateurporn.com.
Lustily is one of them.
Lustily, yeah.
Self-submitted porn.
Self-created.
It's the gig economy.
It's the gig economy of porn.
And
I'm into it.
Well, so is everybody else.
Yeah.
I think that is kind of the way in which things are going to go. I think we can see how we would have had to maybe 10, 20 years ago relied on somebody else to do this thing, and we would pay them as a service to get this thing. Whereas now we've all got these devices where we can create whatever aesthetic art we want.
Yeah, and also if you're not seeing something you want to see, you can make it yourself, or you can commission your favorite, the person you think is best looking, to make it for you.
Okay.
And it's really got that personability to it, which I think a lot of people really tie into their sexuality, maybe without even thinking about it. I think also technology, because we live in society, the Black Mirror is society at us. The good thing of this is that I think it's really helped humanize porn performers, because you can now see what they're doing every day. You can see their lives up on Twitter. You can see pictures of their dogs and stuff.
Yeah, it's personal.
And it's humanized porn performers. So they're not just glitzy, glamorous, big titty fuck machines that you see on the internet. Mm-hmm. They're big, glamorous, big titty people.
I followed Pornhub Snapchat for a while. Not that I really support Pornhub, but just out of interest.
Just out of horniness. Quite interesting, considering that it's owned by MindGeek, and that's a whole other kettle of fish.
Yeah,
it's about data collection. Anyway, so Pornhub has the biggest platform of self-submitted videos, and I think this is great because I remembered what I was going to say.
Okay, we're going to
So I was going to talk about everyone that's got a smartphone that's ever recorded themselves doing anything sexual has made porn, and they are in porn. It all depends on where you put it, whether it's gonna reach a mainstream audience or not. But to me, what we deem as porn or pornographic is pretty much on everybody's phones, that's been self-made or not. And I think the way in which we see pornography now, I think is changing, because we've been so bombarded by things that, I don't know, this is just a personal thing, that when I see anything that's pornographic now, it just doesn't turn me on. As long as there's if there's a dialogue or narrative or there's context to it and it works in my head, then that's I think
it's pretty common that because I follow a lot of porn producers, porn performers, content creators, blah 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 blah, and I see hardcore sex a lot on my Twitter timeline, and to me I'm cool, nice.
Literally.
Rather than being like, oh my god, do you know what I mean?
I think if you've got an interest in sex, especially when you're really younger, if you've got access to the internet, I mean, I got a computer when I was 15. This was like 96. And the first thing I wanted to do was download porn.
Yeah.
Because I didn't know anything about sex.
Yeah.
And therefore, this is what younger people are doing now.
Mm-hmm.
Also, one of the reasons that I actually got in contact with Erica was because I really enjoyed the fact that she was really concerned about what younger people were seeing,
mm-hmm.
and how it has a massive impact on how we interact as a society. Mm. And you know that she has thought about the future,
mm.
and how that if she isn't part of this thing that's going to make a change, then it's just going to stay as it was.
Yeah. A really interesting part of her TED talk was when she said, I don't want to get women out of porn, I want to get women into porn.
Yeah.
Which I always thought was great. It's such a great line. Mm-hmm. It's like, we're not trying to exclude women from watching pornography, mm-hmm. or even being in pornography.
Mm-hmm.
But if more women, or more people who are not straight, cis, wealthy men living in like Silicon Valley, into pornography, then we can change it, because it can be more like,
yeah.
representative of what people want, what people desire.
I think what it is, it's just being the change you wish to see.
Yeah,
and I think
exactly.
Everybody needs to go by that rule, no matter what it is, whether it's a small thing or not. And I feel that's what Erica's doing, and that's what I'm doing.
Mm.
When people ask me, because I've made four/five films with Erica, because one was for a documentary called Mum's Make Porn, which was kind of not a proper film anyway. And people are saying, when are you next going to make an ex-confessions film? And it's kind of like, I feel like I don't need to make any more, because I feel like I've played my part.
Yeah.
I've been the larger person. And I want to see more larger people, and I want to see lots of different other people.
Not
just people, mm. yeah, because I wanted to see someone that looked like me, and I didn't see anyone that looked like me, so this is why I did it.
Yeah.
And the kind of feedback that I've got from it. So a bit of a backstory about Erica. So she comes from a feminist background, really. She studied, what did she study? I can't remember. My brain's gone. Anyway, she studied some smart shit. and then she decided to make her own pornographic film aimed towards women.
Mm-hmm.
And she put it out there for free. And she got like 2 million downloads.
Damn.
Within like the first week or something like that.
That's crazy.
And she thought, oh, there is an audience for this. And I think that kind of spurred her on to do that. So,
and ex-confessions is people who write in their fantasies.
Yeah,
and then she makes the films based on those fantasies.
So Ex Confessions is what do they call it, crowdsourced ideas.
Yeah.
So people, yeah, as you were saying, Freya, and she, maybe about 2 years ago now, she started to fund other filmmakers that wanted to make their own pornographic content, basically, in a film, with a good budget. Because I think as a filmmaker, if you want to make anything that has anything that's pornographic in it, you can't get funding.
No.
So
yeah,
I think her
tried.
Thing.
Yeah. I was.
We still make that porn, baby.
Yeah, I was very excited about making a porn film and like directing it and putting it all together and doing it like myself. But then I started to look into it. I was like, firstly, I cannot afford this myself.
Mm.
Second of all, no one will fund me doing it.
Mm.
And thirdly, I don't know what I'm doing. So if you're a filmmaker out there and you know how to do filmmaking stuff and you don't mind seeing tits and ass and being shouted at by me all the time, let us know.
Yeah, the only people I know that are filmmakers are like friends of mine, and I don't know if they would want to like
watch explicit.
See, it's a risky thing. If you want to be taken seriously as a filmmaker, I think that it's still incredibly I think we're kind of at the cusp now of what is deemed acceptable for a normal filmmaker as opposed to a pornographic filmmaker. Yeah.
Because you will have sex scenes in films, but as long as they're like interwoven into
and not explicit, graphic. Yeah. As long as they're not graphic.
I also feel as though sex really isn't represented in film. No matter what sex scene I've seen in films, it's not really...
I'm trying to think of what's the best sex scene I've seen where I've been like...
Oh, I know.
Oh, go on.
Mine is, I can't remember the name of the director, but it's called Love. I think it's on Netflix.
Is this about the French one?
Maybe it's set in France. It's this couple that, and there's a girl that moves across the hallway from them, and then they start having like sexy encounters with all three of them. And then she finds out she's pregnant. Anyway, it's a whole drama. But it pretty much shows everything, bar an erection. Maybe it shows an erection. Not sure. But that's on Netflix.
Oh.
It's called Love.
Oh, yeah. If it's under the guise of odd, then you can kind of get away with it. Yeah. Like Lars von Trier.
I was going to say, like Nymphomaniac.
Nymphomaniac, yeah. But also the narrative in Nymphomaniac demonises sex and sexual lust.
I mean, Lars von Trier in general is
problematic.
A sigh. Yeah. He's a sigh upon my life. Because I'm like,
don't worry.
Damn, that's a good film, but also gross.
Well, it's art.
I did enjoy Nymphomaniac.
It's there to provoke an emotional reaction, no matter what, and that's what art is.
Yeah.
Whether it pisses someone off, or turns them on, or makes them cry, or makes them scream, you know.
I think a lot of there are pornographic films out there which I would call art rather than porn.
Mm-hmm. Like Four Chambers.
Four Chambers, exactly.
Yeah.
Four Chambers, if you want to look them up. Look them up, they're really good. I always feel like the stuff that Vex does is definitely art before porn.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense? Concept, an aesthetic.
I think to describe story. The work, it's kind of cut-ups.
Yeah.
It's cut-ups of sex, but in a really visceral way.
Mm.
Everyone needs to watch some Four Chambers. Yeah, it's not for everybody. It's not for a quick wank.
It's like a sit-down mood lighting.
It's like
getting
stoned, getting fluffy and just like snuggling down, watch it on the television.
With your like bougie friends. Yeah.
Can we?
We'll watch them.
I was going to say, we'll
do exactly
that. Why dined me and sat me down for Four Chambers.
The music that she puts to it as well is fantastic.
Yeah. God bless Vex Ashley.
So
if you're out there, Vex.
Vex Ashley. I think she's in
the movie. I know, we stand.
Yeah. So she's actually performed in a few Erica films as well. I remember, because I was a fan of cam girls before I became a cam girl. And I actually remember watching her. I think I was subscribed to her channel.
Yeah, because she was a cam girl.
Yeah.
Before.
Yeah, many years.
She got into directing as well.
Yeah.
Cam girling is the place to begin, apparently.
Can I actually say there's a really good documentary called Cam Girls with a Z on the end instead of an S. I think you can find it on YouTube. I think
I've seen it because Vex is in it, isn't she? I have seen it, yeah.
And
that's a good documentary.
It's a fabulous documentary just to show how, from the other side,
it shows how fun it is, but also how kind of boring it is.
Oh, God.
It's not like this super exciting, like neon lights, you're stripping for people on camera and they're paying you loads of money. So much of camgirling is lying there being like, hey, how are you? Yeah, I'm good, thank you. How was your day? Yeah, that's really cool. Sure, I'll show you one titty for like 2 tokens. Here you go. Oh, you've disappeared from the chat before you paid me.
Yeah.
Amazing. Next. Yeah. It's not. But then it's also super fun at the same time.
Like, I was really into chat roulette. That was like my thing.
And Omegle as well.
See, that was a bit like
was
after
it a bit after?
I remember that was a chat room that child.
Which is
but Omegle is very different now to what I remember it being. I guess chat room probably the same thing. Yeah. I did think I did go on chat room a couple times.
Mm.
But Omegle used to be more like you would actually like see people. You get a couple dicks, but now it is literally
penis.
Just penis or like bots. But I remember, like, Omegle, like, going on, it would just be, like, you just get loads of weirdos. But you also get loads of, like, young teens like yourself.
Yeah. It would be... chat roulette, I think, was the same one. It was either, like, young, cool, hip teens who were talking to you on... well, they're not that cool. They're on chat roulette as well, but...
you know, and then actually just made some friends on chat roulette. You young... see someone and you're like, ah, you look cool, and then you just start talking. Then you add each other on Facebook or Instagram or whatever.
No.
And then... yeah,
I'm
33, so you know, I was MSN Messenger. I'm MSN Messenger and MSN chat rooms.
I was an MSN child.
Yeah. When I was, I think I must have been about, I think I was 15. I'd just got the computer. I remember being on MSN chat rooms at like 2 o'clock in the morning.
And then like, and then your crush would like come online, so you'd sign out and sign back in, so it came up and it said that you're online, so you could be like, bing, I'm here.
Yeah.
Talk to me after school.
Oh God.
And then when you got together, you put their name in your name with like a heart next to it.
That's how I brought the millennium in.
On MSN?
MSN Messenger with my friend. We had NetMeeting, which was kind of like the first like Microsoft software to webcam.
Oh my God.
A really shitty Logitech webcam. I remember bringing it in with someone that lived in Ireland called like Jimmy. Jim, I think he was called. And he was my boyfriend at the time.
Oh, I like you can't fully remember his name.
I didn't meet him. He was called Jim. I remember, I think I just got a mobile phone as well. And
of course, big year. 99, baby.
You know what I mean? What's 2020 going to bring? 20 years. Oh,
God. Good Lord.
Anyway.
That's me. I was born in 99.
Oh my God.
She's a baby. I mean, I was born in 96.
Oh, Heidi, I'm sorry.
1986.
It's fine. Refresh.
It's okay.
We're
still children. Young in my heart. You can come on, that's sex.
Yeah.
I mean,
cross generational.
Fucking.
Can I say, how old are you again? Sorry.
20.
20. I was still a virgin at your age.
Really?
I hadn't had sex. I was wanking like crazy, but. That's really my first orgasm when I was 15 with a shower head.
Amazing.
I didn't know what it was. I was just like, ugh. I was like, whoa, what was that? And then, I was never in a rush to have sex with people.
I think that's really nice and refreshing to hear, because I think a lot of people think that if you haven't lost your virginity to be like by
18,
then you're forever a virgin, forever alone, blah, 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 blah. People absolutely get like very not worked up. Mm-hmm. But like, it's nice to hear someone who's in the sex industry say,
I think sex for me is for me.
Yeah. Exactly. Well, I mean, it also depends what you count as sex. Well, exactly. Because if you've been masturbating since, you know, you're a child, is that having sex? So you have been having sex. Yeah. Like, do you know what I mean?
I also was really underconfident, and I think that was just because there was a lot of pressure to kind of have sex.
Mm.
But I think you like to do the opposite of what people tell me to do. So everyone was like, you need to have sex, and I'm like, nope.
Nope. I am happy with my shower head.
Most of the sex I've had in my life, shower head has probably done better.
I could replace a lot of it with the shower head.
But what is it that RuPaul says, if you can't love yourself, how the hell are you going to love anybody else?
Literally.
Amen.
And what he was talking about was wanking. Absolutely.
But I love wanking.
Me too.
It's my favourite thing.
It's my hobby.
Yeah.
When people are like, what do you do for fun? I'm like, because it's fun, it's free. I could honestly.
Yeah. I had a fan that bought me a doxy wand, and it was just like the best.
It's what's the
best
doxy wand?
A doxy wand is like
it's a big like magic wand.
It's like a Hitachi wand.
Yeah.
But it's like So the Hitachi magic wand was basically developed as a massage wand.
Yeah, we actually did a whole show about this.
Really? Okay. Yeah. So the Doxy wand is definitely for sexual stimulation.
Yeah.
But it's actually really good for massaging as well.
It is. I have I think mine's like Love Honey own brand because student discount.
They're crazy. Has it got like a little, like a wheel on it?
A wheel on it, yeah. And I have used it on my back and shoulders.
Yeah.
And been like, oh god, that feels good. And I'm like,
can I borrow that for that reason? I won't put it anywhere.
Yeah, I think
sun doesn't shine.
Like a small back massage with like my magic wand. I'll give it like a hot wash beforehand.
Thank you.
It's really good for getting rid of peri pain.
Mm-hmm.
Top tip, put a condom over the top.
I was going to say that, yeah.
Yeah.
That's how you can share, because I've shared it with a gal pal before and used a condom over it and it was all good.
Yeah.
Oh.
All good in the clitoral hood. No!
And on that very, very heady high note, should we have another one of your songs?
Yeah. I think you should play some Mazzy Star.
I agree.
Mm. Beautiful.
So, do you want to intro this one a bit?
So, Mazzy Star is kind of the same as the previous song, but in a more dirty, sexual, sexy but dirty.
Beautiful.
I love that.
Gorgeous.
All of the above.
Yeah.
So let's hear a little bit of Mazzy Star as this fade into you.
Cover your heart.
You're listening to Project XXX on LSR.
I love that royalty-free sexy music that we have. By Ben Sound.
Ben Sound, yeah.
Ben Sound is like the number one royalty-free guy.
I know about Ben Sound because I think Ben... Oh, maybe it's not. Because I listen to Atletico Mints, the Bob Mortimer podcast, and I'm sure he uses like something like that.
Yeah.
Probably.
Ben Clips. Ben Sounds.
Ben Sounds.
Yeah.
We love him. Shout out.
We were listening to, for no reason at all, most used royalty-free background music.
It's interesting though, isn't it? What people pick.
Yeah. No. And it's always the same. Like, I recognise all of them from, like, YouTubers and stuff.
But none of them are good.
Absolutely not. Well, I put up, completely side note to anything to do with royalty-free music, but I put on a question on Instagram earlier about just people's opinions on porn, people's experiences on porn. I got a couple of responses, so I thought we could discuss said responses with someone who does porn.
Does the
porn. So I'm not going to read anyone's names out, but I'm just going to say.
Oh, go on.
Name and shame them.
No, I'm not.
Dirty porn watchers.
So somebody said, my ex was addicted to porn, couldn't get it up for me or porn by the end. So
I think this is quite a popular thing.
Yeah, I know someone else that's also said something similar.
Something that I actually come into conversation with a lot of people when I actually tell them what I do. And they're totally against it because of this. And it's, I think this is a thing that is real.
Yeah.
This is something that, with the test subjects of this new thing, this new drug.
Yeah. We are. We're like the guinea pigs of the the porn.
And also, people, not just men, can climax without porn.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I find it hard sometimes because if I don't have something to focus on, that's my association with climaxing. And yeah, I think that can be really hard sometimes. Pun intended.
Be really hard and that sometimes.
I do think that it is a big issue that we've not quite worked out.
And I think it's definitely the visual stimulation, which also leads into a lot of like body image issues as well, because you get, if someone's really turned on by porn,
objectified in porn,
and they watch loads of porn, then you as a partner of someone who watches a lot of porn might feel self-conscious because you don't look like the porn that they watch. Oh, I'm not as hot as the porn they watch. I've got to perform like the porn stars because that's the only sort of way you can get off. And that, it can cause a lot of issues.
So what I'm going to put this as, imagine like 20, 30 years ago, this is porn-free world. Mm. We're not talking about porn now. We're talking about what you'd have as your usual dinner. You might have the same thing. Maybe switch it up to something different.
Mm.
Change that over to sex. You would have your sexual partner, and you would have the same kind of sex.
Yeah.
Because you wouldn't know any different.
Mm.
Now, come up to now, we can eat whatever food we want, and we can choose whatever we want.
Yeah.
But if somebody tells us that we can only eat that one thing, you're not going to want that. You're going to want
the whole thing.
Yeah. So I do feel as though
we always have like too much choice.
Yeah, I think this is why polyamory and non-monogamy is so common spoken about now, because people are realizing that sex is so, it's on a spectrum and it's so diverse that not only one thing like is sex for us, lots of different things are
everything on the menu.
Well, you just want to try new things.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I want to try everything on the menu. I might not like everything on the menu, so I won't order it again.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, so.
Yeah, I think
that's how I feel about it.
No, 100%. I think that's a very good like analysis of it.
I feel as though human relationships, as in romantic relationships, are changing for that fact. The fact that we don't necessarily need another person to satisfy us sexually when we've just got this device and we can kind of look at whatever we want.
Another comment was, I don't like it because I think it ruins sex lives, which is...
Well, no, that comes from a personal point of view.
Yeah.
That is a valid thing for them to say.
Yeah, for sure.
But that's just based on their experience.
Yeah, I think it can. It can ruin some people's sex lives, especially if you or your partner can only get off to watching porn or thinking about porn.
Mm.
But I think in a lot of ways, pornography can also help people's sex lives.
Yeah.
Because say you have like a fetish that you're not comfortable enough talking about with your partner or experimenting with your partner, but it still really gets you off, you can watch porn for that. Maybe you and your partner want to try something out, but you're not really sure the logistics, you could watch porn and be like, oh look, there's a there. Like, you know, there's lots of I think it can affect people's sex lives negatively, but I think it can also be a really useful tool.
I think that we've got such a diverse range of pornography at our fingertips now that we can kind of find anything that we want to find, and it's so widely available. Unfortunately, it's
which I think can be a good thing and it can be a bad thing.
Yeah. Well, so one of the main reasons that I actually got into this was because I didn't see anyone with a body like mine.
Yeah.
So I'm 5'10". I'm a size 20. I've got a massive arse, and
I was just thinking, because like I've seen your bare ass in pornography, and I was thinking, oh, she's an amazing ass.
you don't see people with bodies like mine.
No, very true.
You just don't. And the thing for me is, I'm really self-conscious, but that's because I've been told to feel self-conscious.
Exactly. Yeah.
I actually feel as though the reason that I left it so late for me to have sex was because I felt so underconfident in my body. And I think body confidence has a massive role to play in the enjoyment of sex, especially for women. I mean, for guys as well.
I want to see buttony represented more in porn. I want to see...
Say that again.
Butt cheek acne. Representation.
I didn't even know what buttony was.
I thought someone was cool. I was like, who's buttony?
Yeah.
I am buttony. I want my butt
Freya buttony Hoskins.
Freya, be the change you wish to see.
I'm gonna put my spotty butt cheeks.
I'm gonna start making content. So if you want to come and join me, I will do something.
Amazing. More buttony representation.
Yeah, for sure.
I want.
This is a movement now.
It is. This is the buttony revolution.
Everyone that's listening, if you've got buttony, get on Instagram. Do something.
Just let me know so I feel better about my buttony.
Message us on Instagram if you've got buttony.
With your buttony.
So you want to know. Hashtag Viva the Buttony.
Viva the Buttony.
Another comment I got, which is very similar to something we were just talking about, is it's so important to have good sex education for watching porn. Really important with what we were just saying earlier.
We are the test subjects of this new world, and laws only get created once something's happened.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think we all kind of have a part to play in creating this new world that we want to see.
Absolutely.
Within pornography, sex education.
Obviously, sex education is my favourite subject of all time, as well as pornography.
Sex is the origin.
But yeah,
so it's like...
And I think the issue that that we're having, specifically in this country, obviously I can't really talk for like the US or anything, but they're a whole mess unto themselves with sex education and everything else. Yeah. But in this country, porn replaces the bits of sex education that we did not get for a lot of people.
Yeah.
So because the sex education is so poor in this country, people then, kids, the kids, they get, they go online and they're like, wait,
if
so
you don't talk
what
about
does it look like? What actually?
It will go underground.
Exactly. And it's, I never know how to say this without it sounding terrible. Obviously, I do not want to show porn to kids.
Nope.
But I think there should be resources available where actual sex can be shown as like a teachable thing and be like, look, this is the mechanics of it.
Well, it's biology.
Yeah, I mean, it's scientific.
Some people I know were shown videos of women giving birth.
Yeah.
Which is a lot grosser, more graphic, and honestly terrifying than porn. I mean, like, watching... I mean, I first watched porn when I was 9 years old.
Yeah.
I was very young.
Yeah, when, like, I went...
I see, I find that really interesting because I have no, average age, because I only ever talk to people really my age and older, and therefore their experiences with how they discovered porn and how old they were, they either tend to be, so I was 15, some of them were in their 20s, 30s.
But now it's, I mean, I first saw it because it was
you are of the internet.
Yeah, mine was a pop-up.
Generation. Yeah.
It was exactly. A pop-up advert, and that's how I first saw porn.
On Harry Potter.
On the Harry Potter. Sorry, I have talked about it before.
Are you kidding?
I was on, like... It wasn't the like no, sanctioned
was it like
one.
A forum or something?
Yeah, it was like a Harry Potter Flash Games website, and I was on it, and this pop up came up of a woman sucking a guy's dick through a safari jeep window, and I was like, Mom! I was like, you know what? I'm into it. Although,
but it confuses what sex is for people.
Yeah, because I remember seeing that and being like, I don't ever want to do that. I don't know what that is, but I don't want to do it, because I just simply did not know what they were doing. And I think it does, like, in a real sense, I think maybe traumatizes you is a bit of a strong word, but like, it leaves an impression.
Oh, for sure.
It just really, really does.
I remember finding out what the word nude was. Actually, I might have been younger than 9. And
nude.
This is like me being bisexual from a very early age. Typed in nude women on Google. Came up with loads of like porn. I remember just like watching women masturbate. Actually, was the first porn I ever saw.
Yeah.
Oh, that's kind of wholesome.
Kind of wholesome. Imprinted on me, definitely. And I went, Daniel, who's my younger brother. Can look what I just found. He was he's like 2.5, 3 years younger than me. What's so he was like
a bubby.
5 or 6.
Oh
and
my
he
God.
Went, Mom, look what Hannah just showed me. And my mum was like, Hannah Jane Davies.
But that's
Did you
it.
Feel embarrassed? Did you know you were watching something wrong?
But was it wrong?
Well, you know, like something
that I was told I should
watch. Should not
I
be watching.
I think when I was watching it, I didn't think anything was wrong. But then when once my mum found out, she was like, you shouldn't be watching this.
Mm.
And then my second experience was when I was about 9 or 10. My friend came over to my house. My parents had gone out for a hot sec. And she was like, look what I found on the internet. And like typed in something. And it wasn't anything like wild.
Yeah.
I don't actually remember what it was. Like, it must have been something very standard, like hetero penetrative sex. But
I just remember seeing that blowjob through the car window scenario.
And the safari
on the
king
safari.
Was born.
So bizarre. I have no idea. Like, so the way in which so there wasn't such thing as like a tube site when I was on the internet. So this is like you had to go on Napster and
find
a torrent.
This might have been pre and it tube site.
Really.
Did
you have dial up though?
It was. I think it was a dial up home
Amazing.
Office computer.
Amazing.
I don't think it was. I don't think it like directed to a tube site. I think it was literally like a pop up for porn to pay for, but like
a taster.
Yeah, it was like click here, take through to like a credit card. Because I do remember looking.
The ads are still shit.
Sex. On like, googling sex,
and
then. It taking me through like a lot of put in your credit card details now, and I just remember thinking like, I'm a child. I just want to watch free porn. I don't have a credit card. Which is obviously now a pandemic.
Porn sites for children, you have no money.
I was like, where is the porn for children?
Hey, kids have credit cards these days.
But I do, yes, so I do remember seeing it and thinking it was something wrong. I remember seeing that and being like, that's not something I should see. I am too young for this.
Yeah, for sure.
What was the first thing like in media that you both masturbated to?
Christina Aguilera, Dirty Music Video.
Really?
Straight off the top, wow. I remember it, and I was like, no, I don't know. Hot. I'm going to go hunt my pillow for that later.
In the media that I masturbated to.
I remember running
or
up to
in
my
a
mom.
Form of me. Like, I don't even know. So, my form of pornography, when I started masturbating, was the Freeman's catalogue, and it was the bra section.
Oh, baby, that's old school.
Yeah.
Do you have, like, sticky pages on the catalogue?
No, I didn't get that juicy.
The first thing I remember reading that turned me on was, like, Cosmopolitan or something like that, and there was, like, this section at the back, which was, like, the advice columns, and there was one about sex, and it was like giving you advice about how to have sneaky sex on the day of your wedding without anybody knowing, but with your like to be partner. And it was talking about how it was about all that oral and how he would like push up against the wall, lift your wedding dress up, and like kiss you through your pants, and then pull them aside and start looking. And honestly, and it was like, there was a diagram. There's a diagram with like two Barbie dolls. Like a Ken and a Barbie.
Oh my god, I remember those from Cosmo. Yes, yes.
And I was literally sitting in the back of my mom's car like, what's this funny feeling I have in my knickers?
Yeah.
Do you reckon like a vibrating car journey as well?
Yeah, incredible. I was like, and I mean, it must have had an imprint on me because I remember explicitly what the picture looked like as well.
I'm into that.
And I still to this day would love to be kissed through my knickers in a wedding dress.
Yeah,
I don't even really want to get married.
Don't get married. Just go to the charity shop.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was gonna say, like, I'm not gonna do it for marriage.
You could get them to like honestly take you over the threshold and then like go down on you.
I think that's where my like elaborate clothing things come from.
Yes. Do you want to share your
I don't know if I'm gonna edit this out, but
go on, tell me.
But I have like a period costume fetish.
I understand this.
Because it's kind of like when all these people are like very, very elaborately dressed up and you associate it with like a time where it's a bit taboo to be doing these naughty things.
It's role play.
Exactly. Like, I've never actually done it, but I think about it a lot. And you're like, you're both in like outfits that are so elaborate and they're difficult to take off as well.
Yeah, do you think it's that like, do you think it's the sort of desperation of like ripping lots of different layers off?
Yeah, I think so.
That is kind of does it for
it
you.
It does it for me. Yeah.
I mean, I see. It's not a personal kink of mine, but
you
I
can
see it.
Day
that kind
I'm
of like,
about.
Like you know, like when you're kind of you go on a date and you're making out with a person like in the bar, and you cannot wait to get home,
oh
and everything you do feels like it's taking the longest time, and it's physically painful because you're like
the best feeling.
You're running up the stairs. You're like. Like I need to see you naked immediately, and other stuff is annoying.
I quite enjoy like dry humping for a while.
Oh, I love dry humping.
Yes,
we were talking about
this
dry humping earlier.
Oh my god,
we want to rebrand it because like, dry humping sounds sad, but maybe like what did you say? Bump and grind.
It also sounds horrible.
I think that's what bump and grind is, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. When you're like grinding, but you're like
can
in
we
the
talk
club.
About R. Kelly? What's that about?
Are we allowed to talk about R. Kelly?
I don't know.
I don't understand that. Anyway.
It's honestly.
Anyway,
not.
Good
well,
one.
I didn't actually. Yeah, I just,
because fuck R. Kelly forever.
Yeah.
Strange. He.
Oh, but I think
he ruined the idea of a sex cult to me. Like, not that sex cult. ever really sounds particularly positive, but I feel like it had so much potential, and now I just think of R. Kelly's sex cult, and I'm like, that makes me extremely sad.
Yeah.
Oh, like
so anyway, I love to dry hump, and I would love to dry hump in period costume.
There you go. Yeah, period costume.
Like the new cop
on your period.
Piece. Stop.
I've not seen.
I've seen. I mean, I've not
shout
out to the cop stories. I love them forever and ever. They're my favorite women of all time, and they've made this film. Where they're both in like period drama and period costumes, and they're like fighting each other to be the biggest cock destroyer or something. It's amazing. And they're in like a big Edwardian.
Like 1700s Marie Antoinette style.
Amazing. Yeah, but they're like, they still got them giant tits, which are iconic. And then they're just like, you fucking blah 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 blah, and they're like, no, you, but they're like in these outfits and they suck a lot of dick. And I need it in my life. I don't know when it's released, but I need it.
Is this why I'm so good at remembering like historical dates and stuff? Because I'm just like, I like that costume. That costume is hot. And it's from the 1650s. Maybe. Honestly, maybe. Yeah. It makes sense.
Yeah.
Should we have another little song before we hop into maybe like the last section,
so,
I think?
Yeah. So I'd say that this song is kind of like mid-fuck. It's kind of, it just gives you a nice rhythm and it's incredibly bassy.
We love the bass.
Maybe start playing it now because it takes a while.
Which one?
Portishead.
Yeah, I love this. Yeah.
Cool.
It takes a while for it to kick in. Everybody to
yes.
Here it is. Get down and dirty, turn the lights down low.
I'm so tired of playing with this bow and arrow. Gonna give my heart. Too long.
You're listening to Project XXX on LSR.
Juice, the idea of the Desert Island Dishes to you.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah. So,
can I just change it?
Yeah, of course you can. I mean, I've not heard them. So
no, not my answer. I'm gonna... can I change it to Dessert Desert Island Dicks.
That also works.
I also love that too. So we've actually never done it on the show, even though it was something that we sort of created in the summer. For those
uninitiated
that don't know, which is basically everyone that's listening, our Desert Island Dishes or Desert Island Dicks is...
I think Desert Island Dishes or Desert Island Dicks.
Yeah.
Both work.
Yeah.
Whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
This concept.
There's sort of three people you would take to a desert island with you.
Yeah.
So the first one would be your sort of lifelong partner, mm-hmm. someone that you... Maybe the heat isn't there anymore, but you're still...
It's a nice cuddle, it's a nice chat.
Yeah, you have like lovely sex sometimes, but you know, you just like to be with them, a companion.
Mm-hmm.
The second one is someone you would just have there for purely physical reasons. You just want to fuck them. You don't really want to talk to them
mm-hmm.
beyond like dirty talk
mm-hmm.
and then fucking and you leave.
Yeah.
And then the third one is someone you really want to just go on steamy dates with. You never actually sleep together.
Mm.
You just have that like maybe sexual like tension. Like a
good night kiss and that's it.
Like, you go on, like, when those dates you go on where you're, like, the whole time you're just like, oh, and you just do that all the time, which I imagine would get very frustrating. Mm-hmm. But someone maybe you almost think, in my opinion, someone
is too sexy,
where, like, if you don't want to ruin the illusion by actually shagging them.
And all celebrities.
Can I start with the last one?
Mm-hmm.
And can it be a couple, a married couple?
Oh, of absolutely. Course it can.
So it would be Julian Barrett and Julie Davis.
You know, Julie Barrett's from
the Mighty Boosh, but yeah. Julie Davis is 99, and oh my god, like, so the thing that really turns me on with people is if they're funny, or mm-hmm. if they're dark humoured,
mm-hmm.
Or if they're like drop dead gorgeous, and mm-hmm. they are all three, both of them equally.
Amazing.
I mean, so it probably means that I could watch them without engaging. Do you know what I mean?
I've hacked it.
You hacked the game we created, and I love it. I'm all there for it.
So yeah, that would be.
Oh my god! Yeah, I can see it. Like, you go out for like a wine and dine, and they're like, you're all flirting, but then they go home together, and you're like,
that is who we're talking about.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Oh. Good answer. Right,
but that's interesting because Howard Moon is not a sexy character.
It sounds very strange, but
I get what you mean. Sexy. He is an attractive like man, but like
awkward, Howard jazzy. Moon,
yeah.
I think humor can definitely like change how you're attracted to someone.
If you can make 100%. Me laugh, you can get into
minicos. Oh, like for my companion, marriage partner, person was Seth Rogen.
Was it?
Yeah.
Okay.
So or Jack Black.
Jack Black, I stand behind more.
Yeah.
Seth Rogen's
Can I just
noises.
Say, I was actually going to pick a Tenacious D song.
You should have done, I love, which one are you going to do? Will you fuck her gently?
Yeah.
Oh my god, maybe in like
post-edit,
I'll add it into the end because I love that song
very
so much.
Good, very good information.
It is.
From a man to a man about how to please a woman.
And Jack Black is there.
Yeah, I see, I don't get the Jack Black thing.
I think it's because he's funny.
Yeah,
I think it's because he's funny.
Yeah.
And that really does it for me. Mm-hmm. And also School of Rock came to me at a very important time in my childhood. So
past me, I was...
Okay, who's your marriage-y companion?
I think would be... So, what was the other question?
Someone who's purely there for sex
yeah.
and someone who's like a companion.
Sex and companion.
Yeah.
That's what I've got left. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, sex... Oh my god, this is such a toss-up, because, say, I want to pick another couple.
Do it.
No, as a companion.
Okay.
As a companion.
Okay.
I would like Amanda Palmer and Neil Gaiman.
Okay.
Because they would be like, see, I like being the third wheel in a couple, so it's kind
of
like, yeah, I do. I don't know why. I think I just really enjoy seeing affection between two people.
Do you want to be like in it, or do you want to be like cuck sort of style?
Both.
Okay.
And I have been both.
Okay, like voyeur and participant.
Well, yeah, because
I see it.
You kind of experiment, but as a companion. I would like, if I can pick two people.
You know, you do you. Polly queen.
How big is this album? How big is this island? Yeah, definitely Amanda Palmer and Neil Gaiman. Just because I know that they'd have so many... It'd be so funny just to watch them both together, and they're so awkward and, like, goofy and smart and just, like... Yeah, Amanda Palmer turns my brain on.
Amazing.
Yeah, and purely just to have sex with. Mm-hmm. This is another, like... laughter thing.
People find this question the hardest, the purely sex one, actually.
Yeah, it's the one that
because it isn't
found hard.
Because for me, it isn't based really on physical attraction, but then I guess it is in a way.
Mm. Yeah.
Because I know that they'd be... So, my third one is quite niche. Joe Rogan.
Do you know Joe Rogan? He does lots of musical stuff.
He's a TV presenter primarily, but he's got his own podcast, which is like the biggest podcast.
Joe Rogan Experience.
I was thinking of someone completely different.
Because I just know that he would be a very attentive lover.
And
he's a kind of short guy. That? Yeah, and I would imagine that he's shorter than I am. But you need to listen to him. And he's such, I don't know.
Just for context, they're holding up a zoomed in picture of Joe Rogan and pointing to him and looking at Heidi.
You want the Joe Rogan experience.
I prefer Joe Rogan as he is now without the hair.
Really?
It's like,
but it's pure animistic sex. You would not talk to him much. It'd just be a shag. I guess you could then listen to his podcast.
Yeah.
Like,
during, after.
But I would imagine that he's an incredibly fit man, and I would imagine that he's got a lot of stamina. But he's also quite intuitive. Okay. And seems quite a sensitive man, so I would imagine
erotic. I can't remember who I picked for my fuck.
I was going to say, should we go through ours? Because we've never done it on the show before.
See, I find it interesting you say fuck.
That's how I see it. It's like, it'd just be a fuck. It'd be a like
animalistic shag.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Yeah.
Rather than like, and sweet making love.
Or like, even kind of like a passionate roll around in the hay. Yeah. It would be a slam. Animalistic. Fuck. It'd be a slam. And I didn't remember who I picked.
I remember mine. So my companion would be Phoebe Waller-Bridge.
Mm-hmm. I don't know who that is.
Fleabag?
Yeah. Okay. She's great. She's really hot, so I'd still want to have sexual relations with her.
Mm-hmm.
I also would just want to
hang out with her.
Yeah.
I think my purely animalistic sex one was Jason Momoa.
Oh.
I don't know who that is.
That was mine too. He's Aquaman. And he was also in Game of Thrones.
He's married to Zoe. No, not Zoe.
Not Zoe, the other one. He's this like big, I think he's Hawaiian guy.
Oh, yeah.
I'm showing who he is.
And he's got like tattoos and he's got like longish hair.
Is he like Samoan?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, there he is.
And then my steamy day was Rihanna. Because she's so hot and so sexy, but I don't feel like I'm on her level, but I'd love to have like a steamy day because I wouldn't want to shag because I wouldn't know what to do with myself. I wouldn't know where to touch her. I'd be like, oh my God, Rihanna, I'm so sorry that I'm doing this. But I would want to like flirt with her a bit and have her like be flirty with me and then have like one good night kiss and then I'll be like, goodbye, Rihanna. I'll see you soon.
See, I think mine would be
Stevie
Nicks or Pamela Anderson for the same reason. Where, like, they're too hot and too powerful that I would not want to go near them, but I do want to sit there and, like, feel the sexual power.
Yeah.
And then they'd be like, okay, good night, friend. I'm like, ugh. And I'm like, ah, I need to go home and think about some choices. I love hearing people's like celebrity fantasies. I think it's really interesting. We asked my mum. We asked my sister.
If anyone can hear this, tonight is fireworks night. Guy Fawkes night, and I can hear fireworks.
I can hear big bangs.
And I can see them.
Yeah, it's really nice.
Oh.
Yeah.
It's
burn the effigy.
Burn it.
Have you seen Wicker Man?
I've read the book.
Let's do a Wicker Man style fireworks night next year. I'm into it.
That's a sexy burning cult.
Burning man.
That's a cool sex
honestly,
cult.
Honestly, I read, and the book is actually based on the movie, but I haven't seen the movie, I've just read the book because I'm a massive nerd.
You see, I'm dyslexic, so for me to learn from reading is like completely impossible.
I'm just lazy.
To see a film or do a book is great.
They just have loads of sex, it sounds like, and honestly, iconic.
They don't have that much sex in the film, which is really upsetting.
In the book, it's quite graphic.
But yeah, like a cool sex cult, rather than...
Just be the change you wish to see for you.
You know what,
Don't call it a cult, though.
I won't call it a sex cult. Thanks, R. Kelly. I'll call it a...
Sex club!
Sex club!
A cool sex club where you have to do a blood sacrifice again.
Yeah.
Love that.
Yeah. Kind of, like a midsummer cult vibe instead. Yeah, where everyone wears a lot of white... Everyone crowds around you
costume.
And comes with you as a boy. If you want to cry, all your friends will get around you and scream cry with you and hold hands. Like,
I'm sure that this thing happens in Berlin all the time.
Oh, I'm sure.
I know.
Start it in Leeds.
I'm going to bring it over to Leeds.
Talking to a man yesterday about a sex club in Armley.
Yeah, if you run a sex club in Armley, can you let us know some details? Thank you.
Yeah.
Because we want to know.
We would like to know about
that. We just want like a leaflet.
Yeah. See what is there like a sex club pamphlet that we can have any information?
So you've decided to come to a sex club. That's what it will say on it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Lovely.
Mm. I've never been to a sex club.
No, me either.
Well,
and
no, I've been to kinky nights. I suppose that is a sex club.
Did anything happen that was like...
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, sex happened.
Sex happened.
Yeah, God, this is when I was... How old was I? 23?
That's my age. Yeah. Where is my sex happening?
Make it happen!
Be the change I want to see in the world.
Exactly. Be the change you wish to see in the world.
Yeah. Don't do it.
Yeah, I think... Are we gonna wrap it up now, I think?
Yeah, thank you so much for coming on.
My pleasure.
I had so much fun.
Yeah. Heidi and I have been talking to each other for like over a year.
Oh yeah.
And now we're
way
finally,
over a year.
Yeah. Now we're finally in the same room. Looking at each other's eyes and everything.
We're fucking mates.
Yeah, mates.
We're good friends. Oh my god, friends.
Yeah. So do you want to intro your
okay
song? Do you want to plug yourself first? Is there anything you want to
If you want to find me on Instagram, I'm Heidi Switch, all one word. If you want to find me on Twitter, I think I'm Heidi_Switch, and for everything else you can just send me a message.
We'll tag you on the on the Project XXX Instagram, which is LSRProject_3X, because Instagram would not let us have a triple X in our name because it's naughty and they said no, so it's our complex
Instagram.
So yeah, that was it's LSRProject_3X, I think.
Oh,
it's
God.
Something complex.
Oh,
I'll tag you.
Yeah, Heidi will tag us.
Just go find me.
If you're here for Heidi, which is just Heidi Switch, which is lovely and simple, hit us up as well.
On coming on.
The pleasure was on.
Introduce what you need.
Okay, so this last song is a much more high tempo, kind of getting to the finish post kind of song. Mm-hmm. Still kind of fun, but funky.
Fun but funky.
This is different from the rest.
By Inflagrante.
Bye! Bye.
get them, then I'd have them, then I'd scream out, next. You're different, baby.